in the eye of the storm. I find my peace in Jesus' name. are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You're good, good Father. Who you are, it's who you are. To I am, your good, good Father. To you are, and I'm loved by you. To I am. Love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love, love, love. Your good, good Father. To you are. I'm loved by you. To I am, your good, good Father. To you are, I'm loved by you. To I am. My soul waits only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. From Psalm 62. We're going to sing an old hymn that we used to sing at my mom and dad's church when I was just a little boy. And it's called, I Would Not Be Denied. You're going to sing something with me? Yeah. Okay.
I would not be denied. camera, he is singing a little bass part for us. I just love singing with my boys.
Yeah.
might be you know, being sheltered in place just by yourself and reaching out to you right now. Just pray the Holy Spirit just comforts you and just and visits with you, and just that you don't feel that you're alone, because you're not alone. Just because we can't be together in person doesn't mean that we're not thinking of you, that we're not praying for you. And I just want you to know that this next song was written for my father, who had a really rough childhood, and he shared a lot of things with me right before I wrote this song that I didn't even know that he went through. And I just imagine what he looked like as a boy, feeling alone, maybe like you're feeling right now. And I was reading Psalm in the Old Testament. I was thinking about how God would just wrap his arms around the children of Israel. And I thought about a mother hen, how she protects her chicks. She'll wrap their wings around them. And that's the way God is. He'll wrap his arms around you. Just pray right now that you just feel his presence. Within your wings, let me hide myself. Within your wings, there is shelter, comfort, and strength. When the walls of life come crashing in, I will rest within your wings. Unfading love, hold on to me. Unfading love, to you I cling. With my last breath I'll even see, I will rest. passes all understanding.
Good morning, church. So glad that you are joining us once again for our service live cast here on Facebook this morning. Before we start this morning, we want to lift up a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together. And I want to pray specifically for the Miller family this morning who lost a loved one this last week. We just want to pray for comfort and encouragement for them. Father, we come before you this morning, and indeed we lift up the Millers to you. Lord, would you minister to them? Would you encourage them? Would your peace that surpasses all understanding just surround them this morning, Father God? Lord, would your Spirit just fill their hearts with joy, Father God? I know this is a difficult time to lose a loved one and a difficult period to grieve, but Lord, we give them to you and we ask, Father God, for your Holy Spirit just to wrap your loving arms around them. Lord, indeed, let your wings cover them and bring them the peace and comfort that they need this morning. Lord, we commit our word to you today. We commit our time together in Scripture to you and pray that you would just speak to our hearts, each of us individually, Lord, as we sit in our homes, in our living rooms or family rooms, or even out on our decks, Lord. Would you still be there? Would you minister? Would you encourage? Would your Spirit touch and change hearts and lives this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we started on a journey of wisdom. We likened our life journey to that of a road trip, talking about our need for a map or a GPS to direct us. I know we talked about how driving from one destination to another, sometimes we find ourselves in places that we've never been before or places that we are unfamiliar with. And because of that, we need a guide of some sort, that map or that GPS to lead us through those spots, those locations that we find ourselves in. And our journey through life is much like that. As Christians, as believers, we know we have a destination in which we are headed for. But along the way on our trip through life, we discover ourselves in places that we are just completely unfamiliar with. Kind of like being in the middle of a pandemic, not knowing which way to turn sometimes or what information to hold on to. All of those times that we find ourselves, no matter where we're at, no matter what position we find ourselves in, we need to consult our map, the Word of God. We need to listen to our internal GPS, or the Holy Spirit, and they will lead us through those unfamiliar, uncertain spots and times. Wisdom is indeed a gift. It's a blessing that provides us the information we need to make appropriate course changes or to make decisions that we need to make on this journey that we are on. We talked last week a bit about the incredible gift of wisdom that God blessed King Solomon with. We talked about the wisdom that James encourages each of us to ask for, specifically in the times of troubles and difficulties. And then we ended with reading a couple of scriptures from James that give us a little bit more insight as to what wisdom looks like in one's life. There were two specific verses we read. Let me read those to you again this morning. James chapter 3, verse 13 and 17. We kind of push those two together, and this is how they read this morning. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. True godly wisdom comes from doing the will of God. As we seek the Lord, as we read His word and spend time in prayer, the map that He has given us becomes clearer and clearer. Our ability to make wise decisions increase, and our capability of navigating through rough terrain strengthens. The book of Proverbs is credited to King Solomon. A majority of the sayings expressed in that book come from the king. Now, whether King Solomon wrote the book or whether his God-given sayings were used to compile and fill the pages of that book, they certainly contain a great deal of understanding for us on the subject of wisdom. We may or may not realize it, but through that book, Proverbs, I'm talking about, through that book, it gives us an outline of what a godly man, a wise godly man, might look like. Let me pause just a second this morning to just clarify something. As I'm using the phrase man this morning, I'm not doing that in a gender sense. I truly believe biblically God pours out His wisdom on men and women alike. It is not a gender issue. So when you hear me refer to man this morning, we are talking about mankind. If we learn to seek after and grab a hold of these qualities that we find in Proverbs, these qualities of wisdom, then we're able to understand that map that we have been given a little bit better. We are able to hear that GPS a little bit louder and clearer as we navigate our way through this journey of life. And as we seek, and we will find more and more of God's wise direction. Let's start this morning by looking at the character of a wise man. Perhaps one of the first issues we need to address is the teachability of one who longs for wisdom. If we are unwilling to listen or to accept instruction, which, by the way, sometimes comes as constructive criticism, but if we're willing to accept that or listen to it, we are going to struggle with growing in wisdom. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. Listen to advice and accept instruction, and in the end, you will be wise. Proverbs 18:15. The heart of the discerning acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek it out. There's a couple of key words in those two texts that we just read that I want you to pay specific attention to this morning. They are three, as a matter of fact. Seek, listen, and accept. Those three work together in finding wisdom. As people, we tend to gravitate towards others who see things the same way that we do. And while now that's okay and good and has its place, sometimes we take that to the extreme. And if someone doesn't support us, if someone doesn't support me and my decision, then I don't need to be around that person. I don't need to associate with that person. Now, that statement that I just made contains a couple of very scary words. Let me rephrase it, or let me reread it again for you this morning. If someone doesn't support me in my decision, then I don't need to be around them. The two words we need to be very cautious of there are me and my. See, wisdom functions outside of our selfish nature. If we are looking, if we are seeking to be wise, we must learn to look outside of ourselves, our wants and our desires. We don't always have the right answers. We don't always know the best way to deal with the issues that are before us. And we need the perspective of others. Perhaps we even need their years of insight and understanding. Now, there's no question that insight, that understanding, that perspective needs to be from a sound biblical standpoint, not just the opinion of another man. But just because your brother or sister's viewpoint is different than our own does not make them wrong and us right. If we want to make wise decisions, we must seek out the advice of others. We must listen to that advice or instruction, and at very least, ask ourselves a question. Are they seeing the given situation from an unclouded, pure perspective that we might be missing? See, we can have a difficult time making right decisions when we are looking through the tinted glasses that we are wearing. Glasses that are tinted by personal desire, tinted by past hurts, tinted by greed or control. Sometimes our personal circumstances get in the way of wisdom, and we need the outside perspective to give us that clear vision. When two or three from outside our direct circumstances give us the same input, the same perspective, perhaps we need to lay aside our thoughts and listen carefully to their words. If we're not willing to accept others' input, if we're not willing to seek out other perspectives, odds are we are not operating in wisdom, but more with self-centered or even prideful gain in mind. This brings us to another thought regarding the wise man's character. He must seek righteousness and flee wickedness. Proverbs 3:7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Proverbs 14:16. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. Proverbs 16:6. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. Thus you will walk in the ways of, Proverbs 2:20. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of righteousness. Godly wisdom is not found in those that choose to please the world, or those that choose to give in to the world's way of thinking. The world as a whole has chosen to compromise outside of the God-given lines of acceptability. True godly wisdom is attained through a life that seeks to please the Lord at all times and does not come from the heart of man. It's the longing to please God and the desire to shun evil that brings understanding into the light. the more of that light that shines on a given situation, the more the choice of wisdom is illuminated, and the clearer the decision becomes. Let me read that again. It's the longing to please God and the desire to shun evil that brings understanding into the light. The more of that light that shines on a God-given situation, the more the choice of wisdom is illuminated, and the clearer the decision becomes. That circle of events starts as we seek righteousness and flee wickedness. Proverbs 15 gives us another clue to the heart of a wise man. Verse 33 unpacks it this way. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Now this verse is very similar to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Let me read that. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. First, this idea of fear. Excuse me. This idea of fear. God is not a monster hiding in a closet or a creature who stows away under the bed. This statement, this idea of fear, is not about shaking in your boots or having heart palpitations. It's understanding the right relationship between us and our Creator. Like it says elsewhere in Scripture, the lump of clay does not tell the potter what to make it into. Just like a president of a company would not expect a new hire to come sit on their board meeting and reorganize the entire company. The fear of the Lord is about understanding and respect, understanding our position in the relationship that we have with Him. See, we have been asked to sit at that executive board table, but with the understanding that we will watch and listen and learn. The fear of the Lord is understanding that He holds our eternity in His hands, that we're there to learn and to receive from Him. Being who we are called to be, with that eternal destination at stake, should give us a healthy fear of our Creator. The second line of Proverbs 15:33 that we read is a redundant statement to the first line. Let me read it for you again. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom. Humility comes before honor. To fear the Lord is the right context to understand our place, our position, and therefore we humble ourselves before Him. By being humble, we honor God, and He gives us wisdom as we seek in following Him. The second half of Proverbs 1:7 presents the opposite stance of humility. Again, I'll reread it this morning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. It talks about the fools, who by definition are those that hate knowledge or correction of any kind. Those who trust in themselves rather than in God, and by doing so, express their resent for correction or wisdom. And there's one more word to note here in Proverbs 1:7, and that's the word discipline. No one likes to be disciplined, but discipline will come to us, and we can choose to react one of two ways to discipline. We can ignore it, assuming we know better and therefore sealing our fate as a fool, or we can accept it, embrace it, learn from it, change because of it, and gain wisdom by humbly heeding it. A wise man is also a self-controlled man. He does not act rashly. Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Proverbs 17:27. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered. Proverbs 13:16. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. Scripture tells us that we should teach, encourage, and correct each other. Unfortunately, many of us forget that all of that is to be done in love. A wise man learns to choose his words carefully. He learns how to correct and teach and encourage in love and not in anger. A wise man is not verbally affected by the harsh or hurtful words of another, but learns to keep his even temper at all times. The words of a fool gush from their mouths, and then they spend days, weeks, maybe even a lifetime trying to take those words back. While the response of the wise man not only corrects and encourages the hearer, it also strengthens the heart of the speaker. One last notable characteristic to the wise man this morning. He is not vindictive, but is forgiving. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 22. Do not say, "I'll pay you back for this wrong." Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. Proverbs 24, 29. Do not say, "I'll do to him as he has done to me. I'll pay that man back for what he did." Proverbs 19, 11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs 10, 12. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. I am sure that every one of us have been hurt or offended by another person. And our sinful human nature says, let's get back at them. Let's hurt them like they hurt us. Let's not ever let them forget what they did to cause this hurt or this pain in my life. But God is not about revenge. God is all about reconciliation. He's all about rebuilding and restoring, none of which can happen as long as retaliation stands in the way. The simple truth is we are just as guilty of hurting others as others are of hurting us. Some use weapons, some use words, but many times the wounds are just as deadly. Matthew chapter 6 tells us to forgive others as Christ forgave us. The wise man is able to look past the personal offense and see the lost soul that stands before them, even with their weapon drawn. The wise man understands that another's salvation is far more important than our personal hurt feelings. We may not be guilty of the same sin that has been cast against us, but we are guilty of sin nonetheless. And in God's eyes, sin is sin. No sin is greater than another. If we break the law at the least point, we have still broken a law. Forgiveness of others is essential. Without it, how can we accept the forgiveness we have been given? The wise man knows that just as his sin is forgiven, he too must forgive the sin of others. Our first look at the wise man outlined in Proverbs gives us the picture of one who is teachable, someone who seeks righteousness and flees wickedness. This picture shows us a wise man who has reverent fear of the Lord and remains humble before him. And a wise man keeps from acting rashly and is self-controlled in both words and actions. And a wise man is not vindictive, but has forgiveness in his heart and learns to forgive as he has been forgiven. If we want to be wise people, dare I say, we have yet more learning and growing to do. Certainly, I know that I do. If we long to make wise and right decisions, we need to learn to live as God has called us to live. See, the more we live as we should, the more wisdom we are given. The more wisdom we are given, the more we understand how to live. Making right choices and right decisions throughout our lives takes wisdom and discernment, godly wisdom and discernment, which we gain the closer we walk with Him. Lord, this morning I thank You and I praise You for the blessings You've poured out in each and every one of us. Lord, I stand here this morning and I'm reminded again of those words from James. It says, if we lack wisdom, to ask, and You give generously. Lord, this morning I ask that You would anoint Your people with wisdom and discernment. Lord, every one of us every day face decisions that we must make in our lives, decisions where we need wisdom and direction and guidance. Lord, as churches all across the nation, we are looking to reopen our doors and gather together again as believers. We need wisdom in doing that. How do we go about that? What's the appropriate protocol for doing that? Lord, we are a people desperate for godly wisdom in our lives. I pray, Lord, that You would pour out that wisdom that You promised You would to each and every one of us as we ask You for it. Give it to us clearly. Help us to walk as You have called us to walk, and give us the wisdom we need to make decisions and to increase and build that walk with You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed week in Jesus' name.